It's great to have you with us from wherever you're tuning in from. For more information about Elevate Church or to contact us, head to our website elevatechurch.me and take us wherever you go by downloading our Elevate Church AU app. We hope this message inspires and helps you to take your next steps in your journey.
Good morning. Great to see you. First Sunday of the new month. And what we like to do at the beginning of each month is celebrate what God's done through our digital impact. And so when we gather here on a Sunday in Perth, all that we see isn't all that there is, as well as our live experience, which we get the opportunity to be here together in Perth, in Rivervale, before they turn the power off at 12:30. We also have our online experience, and that goes live at 10 a.m. every Sunday. This last month, actually, we regularly get contacted by people who have connected with our online experience. Just this last month, Charles, who leads a newly established church in Lusaka City in Zambia, it reached out to us and said, "I'm so impressed with your teaching." Shucks. No, he meant our teaching team, I'm sure. He said, "I want to learn more from you and am still learning." So here's someone who's launched a new church. He's leading that church, and we've been able to and are able to invest in him, which is pretty amazing. And then Stephen from Kenya reached out to us, said, "I've watched your services and I'm really blessed. I want to learn more and I always pray for you." So there you go. It's pretty cool. We'll keep bringing some of those stories as they come in. We reach it back to them and let them know that, you know, if there's anything else we can do. And then we have our podcast. We take this message that we record here on a Sunday. We push that out onto all the major podcast platforms. People can listen in from there. So in April, we had 430 listens from 14 countries. Now, we get to see which countries listen and how many people in each country. And so Singapore, Ryan, the land of your birth, is back to number one. So welcome back to number one, Singapore. And I hope you enjoyed your Labor Day public holiday this week, which, of course, I live in Australia and I didn't get to take. But get this, we've got a brand new number three country. And I would do this, you're never going to guess who it is. But the fact of the matter is, you're never going to guess who it is. So I'm just going to tell you, a new number three in April is Romania. Hello. So there you go. So let's welcome everybody who's joining our podcast this day. By the way, as if that's not enough, in case you missed it, this last week was the 14th anniversary of Apple, the company, not the fruit, buying the company who created Siri. So Apple bought the company, created Siri 14 years ago this week. Since then, Google have obviously copied them and launched the Google Assistant. Copycats. Amazon followed sometime later with Alexa. And then, of course, who could forget Samsung and their assistant, Bixby? My point exactly. Look it up. It really existed. Three users. But look, it sparked a revolution with how we interact with technology. We can talk to our digital assistants and they kind of respond like a magical genie. Hey, Siri, get me directions to Elevate Church. Now, there's a great question to ask Siri. Okay, Google, take me to Elevate Church Perth YouTube channel. Another great request. Alexa, play me the latest Elevate Church podcast episode. And then they just get magically scooped up and served to us. It's a brilliant thing. You can find less helpful information, you know, like, hey, what's the weather forecast today? Send a text message. You didn't have to type anymore. Just dictate it and bing, off it goes. Amazing. Helpful if you're driving. You want to find some info on the web, you just ask and it gets delivered. So all this stuff is happening. Now, I feel it's important that I do put out a very vital PSA. With all this happening, my wife asked me why I spoke so softly in the house. I said I was afraid Mark Zuckerberg was listening. She laughed, I laughed, Alexa laughed, Siri laughed. So don't come back to me and tell me I didn't warn you, because I warned you, all right? This is how it's playing out if you think this whole digital assistant thing is terrific. I can tell it anything. Yeah. But how would it change the game for you personally if God himself acted like one of these digital personal assistants? Hey, God, I want to know if I should date that guy. Hey, God, I want to know if I should take that job. Hey, God, I want to know your will for my life. And all you have to do is just put it out there and boom, he gets it straight back to you using the most AI ever created. But while we might not have thought to treat God like a digital assistant, I'd be pretty confident that some of us have asked these sorts of questions of God in our past, and that some of us are going to ask these sorts of questions of God in our future. Questions for clarity, for wisdom, for direction. All of these things are great. And I'm going to come back to how this might work in real life. So today, as Louis mentioned, we're launching a brand new series, But You Promised. And we are very unapologetically channeling our inner six-year-old who's sitting in the back seat of your car while you're driving, as you go straight past the ice cream shop on the way home from soccer, and Junior says, "Hey, there's the ice cream shop." And you say, "Junior, sorry about that. I know I said we were gonna go get ice cream, but I just remembered I have to be home to get something." And Junior holds you to account and screams out those very, very powerful three words, "But you promised." Well, the exciting news today, and the reason why we're launching this series, is that Jesus himself has actually made some promises. And he's actually given us the opportunity to hold him to account. Now, we don't have to hold him to account, because he's kind of like, he's not going to blow past the ice cream shop if that's what he promised. But it's this idea that we can actually operate with a sense of confidence around these promises. There's some things that we pray and we're not sure whether God's going to give it the green light. But when it's things that we pray in line with his promises, he's already greenlit them. We just have to step into them. So let's start with this one. If you've got your smartphone, you can scan this, or you can just ask your digital assistant to take you there. And they'll take you to John chapter 10. Now, John's one of Jesus' handpicked disciples. He's the one who self-identifies as the one that Jesus loved, which is pretty cocky, I think. He's the one that liked to brag that he beat Peter to the tomb, like we had a running race and I won. He makes sure he wrote that. You can find that all in here. So I love this guy. I love him. Before I read what he said in this particular part, I just want to make sure you understand, as well as the PSA about who's really listening to your conversations, this message comes with several warnings, all right? The first of which, and you may not like this, you better be sitting down to hear this. One of the most prevalent metaphors that Jesus uses for us, his followers, is sheep. Great. Sheep are dumb. Anyway, so I'm just letting you know, wasn't my idea. And Jesus said, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep." That's him. And the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he's brought them out, all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep will follow him because they know his voice. This is the first promise that we're going to drill into that Jesus made, that we, as his followers, can actually know his voice. Now, this is actually very much a companion message to a message that our great friend Rick Painter preached here last November, and I know many of you weren't yet part of Elevate last November, so that's great. And if you were, you can go back, and it's this message here, Jesus the Good Shepherd. So if you happen to listen to that during the week on our podcast, blended with this, it's just an incredible way to get further understanding of what it means to be able to hear the voice of Jesus. So I love it. I love that Jesus promised that we can hear his voice. But look, can we just get honest for a moment? Like, just for a moment. How many of you have ever sort of found it difficult to hear God's voice? You'd be like, I gave it a shot and didn't work. Or it worked this time, but didn't work that time. Like, this is so unreliable. It's like Siri 14 years ago. Or 2 years ago, actually. Me too. And then there's this other conundrum. Have you ever had the situation where you think you've heard God's voice, but then you start to second guess it? Was it God's voice or was it just my emotions? Was I sort of making this up like it's God, but really it was me? Or was it a distraction from the devil? Because the devil was listening as well. And he's like, I got this one. Oh, swoops in with his great advice. Or was it just something you ate the night before? Stupid pepperoni. Next time I'm going the ham and pineapple. I don't care what Louis says. This message today really, there's a tension in this message, because I would love to be able to say to you that every single one of you, every single one of us is absolutely 100% unequivocally every single time going to, without any sort of lack of clarity, going to hear God's voice. Money back guarantee. I mean, I'd love to be able to say that. I mean, Jesus promised that we'd know his voice, but we're us. And we're not perfect. If we were and we heard his voice clearly every single time, it's what one church calls infallibility. I mean, it'd be nice, I guess, but it's not realistic. So really what we're going to be talking about today is bridging the divide between how often and how clearly we can hear God's voice. We won't get there all the way 100% on this earth. But what if we closed the gap? What if we narrowed that divide and we're able to better hear God's voice? And the great thing is there's actually a few very accessible practices that if we choose to do them, and that's an if, they will actually help us bridge that divide. Now, this is something I know about the digital personal assistants, is like sometimes you ask them a question and they fumble the answer. Has anyone ever done that? And you find yourself saying, stupid developers, do better. And you're just like, Well, this one is exactly the opposite. Because God speaks with incredible clarity. He doesn't fumble the answer. And when we don't hear him correctly, I'm stretching the metaphor here. He's up in heaven shaking his fist at us. You do better. So, how can we do better at developing our ability to hear God's voice? This one is straight from the mouth of Captain Obvious. Ask God to speak to you. And I was like, should I even bother putting this in there? Is this even worth mentioning? I mean, isn't this just assumed? But without acknowledging if you've been guilty of this or not, have you ever skipped this step? Come on now. Have you ever just sort of like, well, I know it's an option, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to blow straight past this one and I'm just going to trust myself. I'm going to listen to my heart. So getting back to my less than perfect digital personal assistant metaphor, they only respond when we first ask them something. Like they're activated by a request. Now, God's not only that. I'll come back to that. But he very much can be activated by a request. Now, here's my second warning. First warning, we're sheep. Get over it. Second warning, this is a very dangerous prayer to pray. And the reason this is a dangerous prayer to pray is you might not like the answer that God gives you. It's like, God, okay, let's look. All right, let's try it again, but can we do it like multiple choice? And then I get to pick the one I like the best. But know this, when we ask God to speak to us, and he does, even if it's something we didn't expect, and even if it's something we didn't necessarily want to hear, when God reveals his will to us, it always ultimately leads to better. Okay. So, back in history, there's this young kid, probably 12 years old, lived and worked in the temple, the Jewish temple. It's kind of like a, he lived and worked in the temple. And his boss, so his name was Samuel. His boss was a Jewish priest named Eli. Now, nighty night, bedtime, Samuel goes to his bed, Eli's bed, everyone's down for the night. And Samuel, 12-year-old Samuel, hears somebody calling his voice. And he assumed it was Eli. So he gets up, runs in, goes into Eli's room. Yes, sir, what do you want? Yes, sir, what do you want? And Eli's like, I didn't ask, I didn't say anything. Go back to bed. Samuel back to bed, a little bit puzzled. Hears his voice called again. Gets up, runs into Eli's room. Hey, Eli. He's like, no, Samuel, I didn't call your name. Go back to bed. Samuel go back to bed. Hears his voice called a third time. Runs back to Eli. A third time. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. This was a new thing for Samuel, and it took Eli a while to connect the dots. He was meant to be the professional. I want my tithe back. This guy's overpaid. And thankfully, third time lucky, Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, this mysterious voice, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Now, I like to simplify things. I'm a simple guy, not dumb simple, sometimes dumb simple, but just like accessible simple, kind of like conceptualized simple. I'm not sure that when it comes to asking God to speak to us, I'm not sure that it has to be any more complicated than this. That this literally can be the question. I know some of you are artists and creative types and you're like, well, I asked it that way last time. This time I want to express it differently. Fine, if you feel the need to, but I'm just saying, for us mere mortals, I think this is about as complicated as it needs to get. God, I'm not sure if I should take that job. I want your perspective on this. So speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. God, have you noticed that my teenage child is proving to be a little bit challenging at the moment? And I'm kind of doing everything I know to do, but look, I'd like just a little bit of extra supernatural wisdom to bring into the situation. So speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I don't believe it needs to be any more complicated than that. I think the mistake we made is that we skipped this step. But if you're like, can you do that? I would write this down. I would tattoo it in reverse on your forehead so when you look in the mirror, it's facing the right way and you get reminded that this is a great prayer to pray. So great, so simple, so accessible, right? That even if you've never prayed this prayer, asked this before, I'm gonna give you a chance to crack it now? So, repeat after me. We'll do this in two parts because I know it's a long sentence. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. The end. Now, listen. Because this is where it then gets challenging. Listening. You've asked the question, and it's 2024, people. We have never been surrounded by as much noise at any point in human history than we are in 2024. So even if God actually answers this prayer, sometimes we're like, what? 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 Like Louis' 97-year-old grandmother. What? 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 Que? Hey, mate, I'm not going to dunk on anybody that's still going strong at 97, but I'm just saying. It's what it can feel like. Like, what? Now, is any pilots here? Paper planes don't count. Any pilots here? No? Okay. All right. Oh, Reese. I said paper planes don't count. Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the thing that you probably at least have a decent understanding of. When a plane comes into local airspace with the view of landing in a particular airport, they start communicating with that local air traffic control, ATC, okay? Only when you come to that local area. But here's the challenge, is depending on how busy that airport is and what time of day it is, there could be as many as 40, even 60, sometimes 80 other planes that are currently in that exact same airspace. And here's the challenge. They're all on the same frequency with ATC. They don't have the dedicated switching over to channel this now, talking to that pilot, switching over to channel. No, the ATC are on one channel and all of the planes and all of the pilots are hearing all of the instructions that are being sent out by ATC. And so pilots flying there, they don't even know who you are. You don't get identified by your name. If they did, it'd probably be easier. Mark Pomery. You're like, oh yeah, I recognize that. You get identified by your tail number, which by the way is not the same every time you fly because you fly a different plane every single time. So you might be listening to 40, 60, 80 other planes that just, it's constant. The chatter is constant, 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 constant. And you have to listen for when they call your specific tail number and then listen carefully because what they're communicating really matters. And I'm like, well, that sounds difficult. So I asked a pilot friend of mine, like, is that difficult? And he just said very simply, the more you do it, the easier it gets. So when you do this more, ask God this question, and then proceed to listen, the more you do it, the easier it gets. Now, this is all about asking God like specific questions. But this isn't the only approach. This, coupled with understanding God's already spoken. In fact, the most reliable way of you and I hearing and understanding God's voice is reading what he's already said. He said it inspired through people who were inspired to write it down. And today we have God's revealed word, things that he's spoken throughout history that have been written down. And reading that is the most reliable way that you and I can hear God's voice. And we're going to hear God speak words of encouragement. We're going to hear God speak words of direction, words of comfort, words of correction. They're the bits where if you have a paper Bible, you're like, won't be needing that page again. We're going to read God's word, and when we do, it renews our minds because we get to see God's perspective on how life was created and designed to work. So I'm going to say it again. The most reliable way to hear God's voice is to read God's word. Now, who's got a paper Bible? Sarah, you got your paper Bible here? Andrew, good. Hold up. Like, it's a thunker. This is not a comic book. There's a lot of words in there, right? So when it comes to reading it, where do I start? Do you read from the beginning through to the end, like a fiction story? Well, you can. I've done that. It's actually a very good thing to do on occasions. Several of our team are doing that right now. But that might not be the best starting place, because actually you're going to come across some stuff that's going to be like, whoa. Maybe before you're ready, if you know what I'm saying. So there's no one size fits all. Let me make that clear. But let me just show you very quickly. Some of you are very familiar with this. There's an app called the Bible app. There's several Bible apps. This one I love because I think it's the best of them. It's created by a local church. They make it available for free. It's funded by people giving at that church. God bless them. And so if you have that app installed, you can scan this code, and they've got a feature called My Church in the Bible app. Because one of the things they've got in there are plans, Bible plans. Old school, you might call them devotionals, whatever. And these are just like little kind of bite-sized pieces that are guided through portions of the Bible. Could be topical. You know, you want to read what the Bible has to say, what God has to say about fear and anxiety. There's a plan for that. Plenty of plans. Marriage, work and careers, and on it goes. You might want to study an entire book of the Bible. You know, I encourage people every now and then in January, read through the book of Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs, 31 days in January. Read a proverb a day. It's all that wisdom, and set the year up to get greater wisdom for what God wants for you. Plenty of things to do. This is, as I said, just one example. Now, God also speaks to us. Dear God, I hope you do, through preaching. Otherwise, what are we even doing up here? Trusting that, and I trust that when I'm preparing something, that I'm hearing from God, and that I'm just going to be able to be used by God as a mouthpiece, and that He will actually speak something to you. And, you know, He does. I mean, people go, oh, that was great, it's great. And I say, well, what was great? What impacted you? Tell me what impacted you. Most of the time, it is something I said. Some of it's like, I didn't say that, but God obviously spoke to you. It's all good. You can trust that sometimes God will speak to you through a song. Worship song, not just here on Sunday, but you're listening out in the wild to some worship songs. Sometimes through a trusted leader, not always, cult. Sometimes through a friend. God can speak to us through dreams. That's a thing. Sometimes God speaks to us through peace. It's like, oh, the circumstances don't line up, but I've got a real peace about that. And sometimes God can speak to us through an absence of peace. Well, it looks pretty good, but I just don't. All right, last one, I landed with this, is God also speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. Now, let me bring you into the inner circle of live or simulcast live television, like reality TV shows, or what I like to refer to as unreality TV shows. You know, MasterChef's just kicked off, and it's past my bedtime, but Louis loves it. And I get to find out what happens the next day. And so you've got the judges standing there, and they're saying like really eloquent things. I mean, even on week one, they remember all the contestants' names. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And then they're saying eloquent things, asking eloquent questions, and they know a lot, or they know so much about these contestants. And you're thinking to yourself, wow, how are they pulling this off? And they're not even professional TV people. They're people with a foodie background. Some of them are former contestants. It's like, what? But if you look closely and you have to wait for them to do this or this or the camera to come in and look closely, you will see the smallest, most discreet little bit of plastic or rubber inside their ear. This is an earpiece. Now, it was easy 30 years ago because they looked like the Secret Service, the ones they used to have, and there was like coils going everywhere, and you're like, yeah, they're just being fed this lines and fed this information by the director and the producer back in the studio. Yes, and that still happens today. We don't see it as much, but it still happens today. So next time you watch one of these TV shows, don't be as impressed as you used to be, okay? because these people are being given guidance and encouragement and direction and, wait for it, correction by somebody speaking to them in real time for what they need in that situation and that circumstance and that setting in real time. This is God speaking to us a promise through a guy named Isaiah, a spokesperson named Isaiah, and this is God's promise. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." And the more you listen, the better you get at it. The more you listen, the better you get at it. And then finally, final warning, I should say. Because all of the greatest direction and encouragement and guidance and correction is practically worth nothing if we don't act on it. It's just information at that point. And this part won't always be easy. It will often take you out of your comfort zone. It will often require faith because it might be something you've never done before. Or maybe you did it before, it didn't work out. You're like, never doing that again. And God says, I want you to do that again. And you're like, ugh. But we enter into God's promises through the pathway of obedience. And God, over time, will always lead us to better. Now, next week is Mother's Day in lots of countries in the world. We got all synced up. Father's Day is all over the map around the world. But Mother's Day next weekend. So, Christina, you better have a good excuse for yawning when I'm speaking. Study late last night, did we? Okay, good. Good enough. She's doing her master's. She gets to yawn once per Sunday. So anyway, we're going to continue this series. We have a great Mother's Day celebration. Bring your mums. Mums, this is the Sunday that you can lay the guilts on. Bring your kids if they're not church people. I'm going to continue this series. I'm actually going to teach the promise that Jesus made that he will never leave us, that he'll always be with us. So there's that.
Great. We really hope you got a lot out of this message. If you live in the Perth area, we'd love for you to join one of our live experiences. For times and directions, as well as information, head to our website, elevatechurch.me. For those of you beyond the Perth area, we'd love for you to connect with our online experience, which premieres every Sunday via YouTube and Facebook Live, and on demand immediately after. And to partner with us to reach more people by giving financially, head to our website, elevatechurch.me, and also download our Elevate Church AU app.